Wisconsin's prison population has more than tripled since 1990, and that's put a strain on detention facilities. If current trends continue, new prisoners may have to be sent to other states as soon as next year.
Three proposed bills in the state capitol look to address that problem. They would change rules about sending people back to prison for certain parole violations, expand the state's earned release program, and repurpose the troubled Lincoln Hills Youth Prison.
Representative Evan Goyke is a Democrat from the state's 18th Assembly District in Milwaukee. He's the author of the legislation, and he's with us now in the studio. Representative Goyke, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me again.
You did a presentation about this, talking about prisoner number 501. What do you mean by that?
So inmate 501 is a real person. It stands, though, for the one prisoner too many of the total capacity that we have in our prisons and jails. So our prisons are built to hold about 16,000 people. Tonight they hold a little over 23,000 people. And we have about 450 that spill over from the prisons into county jails, but there's only 500 total spots. So 501, and we're almost to 501, will have to go somewhere else and possibly or likely out of state.
Why did we get here? We went from about 7,000 prisoners in about 1990 up to, as you say, 23,000.
So it's a combination, and I want to confess that this has been a bipartisan problem. Both parties have been responsible for legislation that have increased the prison populations. You know, when I was a kid, we were engaged in the war on drugs, and we believed that incarcerating people would deter crime. That can happen, but it really hasn't led to the promises that we were told it would. And so we've created laws that have increased criminal penalties on a variety of bad behaviors, and so people are going to prison today at a higher rate. And then lastly, our prison system is non-discretionary. So if somebody gets a two-year sentence, they must serve all two of those years. There's no ability for the Department of Corrections to let them out early.
Before we get to the particulars, you mentioned this is a bipartisan problem. Are you starting to see a sense of bipartisan solutions? You presented this prisoner 501 to a bipartisan group of lawmakers and their aides.
I do. I do see this as a bipartisan issue that we have to solve. I look around the country, and states around the country are solving prison population crises through meaningful criminal justice reform in places that would surprise you. Republicans in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, Democrats on the coasts, and largely they're arriving at the same policy solutions, and those bills are advancing with Democratic and Republican support. I think we're getting close to that point here in Wisconsin because we're coming close to that crisis of sending people out of state or engaging in a discussion about building a new prison.
And that price tag seems like a motivator in even tough-on-crime states around the country. Can you talk about the impact of the two solutions you mentioned, building more prisons or sending more prisoners maybe to private facilities out of state?
So today, the state of Wisconsin will spend about $23,000 to house inmates in county jails. That rate would increase, dozens of thousands of dollars every single day if we have to ship people out of state, because the out-of-state rate is more than housing them in-state. The Department of Corrections has estimated a new prison would cost upwards of $300 million. And so these are financial decisions that are totally avoidable through some common sense and fairly easy criminal justice reforms that we've proposed that other states, conservative states and liberal states, have engaged in.
Assembly Representative Evan Goyke is with us, a Democrat from Milwaukee, talking about a package of prison reform bills he's working on. And let's get into some of those now. Representative Goyke, one of your bills deals with revocation, meaning when someone's out of jail, they're on parole, they get sent back. What do you want to see change there?
So the bill would say that the Department of Corrections can incarcerate for shorter periods of time when people on parole or probation violate the rules but don't commit a new crime. So we're talking about missing meetings, or if they have an addiction issue and they test positive for drug use, the bill prioritizes sending those individuals into treatment or potentially short-term incarceration, but not back to prison. It maintains the power of the Department of Corrections to send individuals back to prison if they commit a new crime. But if it's something less serious, the reaction should be something less serious also.
How big a difference would that make?
My estimation is a couple of hundred inmates a year. This is not targeted again at the majority of the prison inmates, but it's a simple solution. Just don't send people back to prison unless they commit crimes. I think it's kind of common sense. It's a fair solution, and it would prevent the prison population from continuing to grow.
I guess the thinking is, okay, you've just gotten out of prison. We've got stricter rules for you. If you can't follow those rules, even if they don't rise to the level of committing a crime today, if you can't follow these rules we've set for you, maybe you're at risk of reoffending anyway.
That would certainly be the kind of argument behind the law that we currently have. The problem is there's social science that proves that sending somebody back to prison for a year or more for a non-criminal violation is an overreaction. It doesn't actually address the bad behavior in a meaningful way. Something shorter but still serious, like a 30 days in jail, is a more appropriate response.
Let's move on to another one of your proposals now. The ability to have a sentence reduced, time off for good behavior is the phrase. I don't know if that's the official legal phrase in Wisconsin, but that's the concept. We, as I understand it, don't have that anymore. You can't earn time off of prison with good behavior.
There are only a handful or percentage of inmates that can get out of prison early, and it's called the Earned Release Program, and it is only for inmates that have an alcohol or other drug addiction, and it's after they successfully complete that treatment to address that addiction issue. So our bill expands the number of eligible inmates and expands the number of eligible programs. So if somebody is in prison and they don't have an addiction issue, but they also don't have a high school diploma, we treat completing their high school education like completing alcohol or other drug treatment. So obtaining your GED, doing something useful that will reduce your likelihood of reoffending when you get out of prison, we would reduce their prison term by a certain amount, but we add that amount to the end of their community supervision. So say an inmate has their prison sentence reduced by 3 months, they would be on parole for 3 additional months. So we still are watching them for the same amount of time.
Is this something that you've seen happen in other states and get bipartisan support?
Yes, this is something that's been done in other states. And again, it's building off of an existing program that we have in the state of Wisconsin.
This is something that people, when elections aren't happening, might work together on. It's an easy campaign ad. If somebody commits a crime, they've been subject to some kind of early release, the ad writes itself if one party in the election supported that and not the other. This is something that blows up really easy.
Yeah, I appreciate the heads up to all my political opponents out there, helping them come up with a campaign against me. It is a challenging issue to solve. Crime and punishment, and when I've been a victim of crime, my family's been a victim of crime, it is really very difficult to roll our sleeves up and solve these issues. But these solutions are not simply lighter on crime or allowing people to get away with bad behavior. It's tailoring our response to have the best outcome. These solutions can actually reduce crime. Focus our resources, like incarceration, on people that are violent, and don't overreact and send people back to prison for non-criminal behavior.
And how, for the early release, the earned release program, expanding that a little bit, how big a difference is that going to make in terms of prison overcrowding?
We think that bill has the potential to really ease this conversation about sending people out of state or building a new prison. We're talking about expanding this to several hundred, potentially thousands of additional inmates. And again, it's not wiping their sentence in half, but even these small reductions of 3 months or 6 months would make a huge difference to the prison population.
And then finally, you've got kind of a two-part plan for the troubled Lincoln Hills Youth Corrections Facility. We've been hearing headlines about this for years now, the problems going on there, hazardous for inmates and staff there. What are you looking to do?
So Lincoln Hills in our juvenile prison system has the opposite problem that we've just been talking about in the adult system. The population of Lincoln Hills has been falling. So tonight, that facility is about 70% vacant, meaning the use of that facility is not very efficient. And so our bill would adopt smaller, regionalized, and need-based facilities so that the juveniles are housed closer to the communities and families they come from. And And using the facility of Lincoln Hills, which is built like a minimum security prison, we would use those space to, one, prevent sending people out of state or building a new prison. And the facility itself is built in a way that I think it could be used as a treatment facility very quickly.
That idea of moving the current residents at Lincoln Hills to smaller, regional, closer-to-home facilities, a lot of people are talking about this. It's not a quick and easy solution, maybe not a cheap solution.
That's absolutely correct. There are capital costs in developing these smaller institutions around the state and staffing them. But one thing I would point out is that the legislature this year in the state budget increased the cost of housing a juvenile at Lincoln Hills to $390 per day. So it's just under $150,000 per year for a juvenile inmate at Lincoln Hills. And the counties in Wisconsin bear that cost. Counties did not get increased money for this increased payment, and they're going to find these alternatives. They're going to create them locally, and our population at Lincoln Hills is only going to continue to decrease. So we've got to come up with a better use for that facility.
Those are the solutions you're offering. I want to get back to the problem side a little bit. In addition to the idea of, well, do we need new prisons? Do we need to send inmates out of state? What are the current concerns? You said we're over capacity in the prisons we have right now. What are the concerns when it comes to staff and inmate safety?
So if a cell is built for one person, but there are two people in it, that is a much less safe scenario.
And this is happening.
This is happening all over the state of Wisconsin. And in some facilities, a third inmate is sleeping on an inflatable mattress on the ground. To all the listeners, this is just common sense. Two people in a tight space is more dangerous than just one. And for guards, that means, you know, covering more people. It has also meant more people with acute mental health illnesses housed with other inmates in close quarters, and it leads to more disruption and less safety in the facility for both inmates and the guards.
You've referred a couple times to mental health and addiction issues. I don't think they're part of your current legislation here, but is that part of the puzzle here, trying to refer people to treatment instead of incarceration?
It is, and I will confess that it is part of the broader solution, but not part of the three bills. My goal with these three bills is to stop from building a new prison or stop from sending guys out of state in the short term. Our prison system has become one of the state's largest providers of mental health services. And it is an absolute tragedy. I was a lawyer in the criminal justice system as a public defender in Milwaukee prior to being elected, and I represented people suffering from mental illness day after day. And our system is not built to accommodate these people appropriately, and so we warehouse them in prison, and they do not get the treatment that they need. And so what happens is they continue to commit crimes, and we don't solve the root causes.
Briefly, what's your timeline on trying to get these three pieces of legislation passed?
Well, the problems here, it's immediate. I think we're going to be sending people out of state very soon, so I'm hoping to get hearings in the legislature. We've just wrapped up our co-sponsorship period. There is bipartisan support in each of these bills, so my next step is working with legislative leadership to hold public hearings, to get estimates from the Department of Corrections on how much they would cost or save, and then move forward.
Representative Goyke, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Representative Evan Goyke, Democrat from the state's 18th Assembly District in Milwaukee, talking about his prison reform legislation.
Coming up after the news, we'll look at what challenges young farmers face and what resources are available here in Wisconsin. I'm Jay Carlisle-Larson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.